The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 400. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this 400th episode of the PVD Cast. Now, I mentioned last episode that I wasn't going to get involved in any big hoopla or any over-the-top celebration about number 400, though I have done some reflection and thought about what a monumental task this has been, is, maybe the longest creative thing that I have done ever in my life, putting out 400 episodes of this podcast. And, you know, as I thought about it, I've had some really great episodes. I've had some lousy episodes, too. I'm not going to lie to you. There are some that I've put out that I was like, that was kind of mediocre, or that was kind of lousy, but I think every podcaster has maybe a few of those in their catalog. But I do want to say thank you to all the people who have checked out an episode of my podcast. I truly do appreciate it. I think back to all the friends I've made and all the opportunities that have befallen me because of this podcast, and I'm really humbled, and I'm really proud of having 400 episodes. And like I said last episode, maybe at 500, we'll do a big, giant celebration. Because that's kind of more of a milestone in my mind than 400. But you know what? I guess maybe when you think about it, there's no better way to celebrate than with me talking some hockey. Ladies and gentlemen, you know it's one of my passions. And the NHL season is starting next Tuesday on October 10th. So I need to preview that upcoming season, and I'm going to do it with my good friend, Luke Landry. Luke is going to join me. We're going to talk about all the news that has happened, you know, over the last couple months. We're going to give our thoughts on what some teams are going to look like this year on the ice, that is. Maybe what injuries might be hampering some performances of some of the team. All the good stuff when it comes to the NHL, we're going to talk about it. So I want to get into that conversation with Luke, but before I do that, I need to thank a great sponsor of the show. And of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. And you know what? You talk about 400 episodes. They've been with me for quite a number of those episodes, and I do appreciate it so much. I say it all the time, but I truly mean it. I thank Jeff and all of the fine folks down there at World's Greatest Comics for being a sponsor of the PVD Cast. I mean, folks, it's your one-stop shop for all of your comic book needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collectibles, toys, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, some really fine primo issues of some outstanding comics on the wall. I mean, we're talking like really well-graded style of comics that you want to add to your collection. Basically, they got everything you need for your fandom. So, if you're in the Central Ohio area, you owe it to yourself to stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. But you can also check out the store online. WGComics.com is their web address, and they're pretty active on their Facebook page. Just search for @WGComics. All right, with that out of the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Luke Landry talking about the upcoming NHL season. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this evening I'm joined by hockey enthusiast Luke Landry. Luke, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing excellent. It's good to see you, man. I always look forward to these evenings where we sit down and record a great hockey episode for the podcast. I really do look forward to it. And we got a lot of stuff to cover.
Yeah. stuff. it's hard being a hockey fan nowadays. I mean, there's so much shifting in players and teams in the off season now. It's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially this season, we saw a lot of trades and a lot of free agent signings that were, I guess you could say, surprising. And we'll talk about that. But let's first let everybody know that the season starts next Tuesday, October 10th. I believe there's four or five games on the docket for that night. And then the rest of the league kicks off on the 11th, which is Wednesday night. So let's talk about some of the headlines here that are more recent, shall we say. And one that we were talking about off air, Andrei Vasilevskiy out for a few months with an injury. How is that going to impact Tampa?
That's a big one. And the biggest question for me when you look at that is, who could you get? Because he's been such a – I mean, it's like back in the day when you had the Martin Brodeur in net. I mean, you didn't even know who was his backup goalie because he was playing so many games. Vasilevsky's almost in that seat where he's such a huge part of the team. It's like, who are you going to go get? First off, is there anybody on the team, on the farm team or anything that would be ready to at least play a couple of games? If not, I mean, who else, who's available, right? I mean, it's a huge hole to cover.
Well, the funny thing is the most popular name that I've seen floated around is Brian Elliott. The former backup that they didn't re-sign. So that would be, I don't know, maybe a little awkward, maybe not. I don't know. Brian Elliott has been floating around there. I think Yaroslav Halak has been whispered as well. And then there's been a lot of trade talk. I don't know. I think we're too close to the beginning of the season for any type of trades.
Yeah, up in Montreal, there was, I wouldn't say big talk, but right now we have three cold goaltenders who are probably going to start the season with the team. So you have Montembeau, who's fighting for a number one spot, and then you have Jake Allen, who's, I mean, he's struggled, and even in the preseason this year, he struggled as well. And then you have Caden Primo, which he has to go through waivers if you send him down. And last year he didn't prove that he could do it at an NHL level. So I don't know if they'd have some bait around, especially Jake Allen or Primo. But, you know, if I'm Tampa, I'm not sure. You could maybe take a chance with Jake Allen, but I'm not sure if they really want either one of those guys.
Well, it is going to make for a very interesting start of the season with Tampa. And, of course, you know, Tampa also has kind of lost a few other key members, you know, through this past summer.
Yeah, Pat Maroon's a big one. I was surprised that. I mean, he was a huge. I mean, not necessarily in the numbers category, but character and just the type of player he is. He brought a lot to that team over the last few years. So that's one trade I was surprised to see.
Let's talk about what was probably the most bizarre hockey story that I have heard in a while, and that would be the Mike Babcock situation here in Columbus, Ohio, which I don't even understand half of what went on. I don't even know where to begin.
The good news, it's already over. So you don't even have to worry where to begin. It's
done. Right. It's, I mean, over. Yeah. But the thing is, I actually thought when they got Babcock and they got Severson and they got Provorov, okay, you're actually making some moves. Maybe you'll be in the middle of the pack in the Metro. And then this happens. And now we have another coach who I don't know much about other than he was an assistant, Pascal Vincent. I don't know how effective he's going to be. And now there's a lot of question marks circulating that team.
Yeah, well, my big question mark has been for a while, and I think we've talked about this at least once or twice. The GM, I mean, he's been there for a long time. He's lost a huge number of players. I mean, you guys had that was a solid team just like 6 years ago, something like that. And mm-hmm. They just lost everything and still the same people are in charge. And then this happens, even if you put a new guy in charge, I mean, well, how do the players feel with that? I mean, what's the amount of respect that's actually felt? And so I don't know. And like on one hand, I kind of look at this, like, did you not get the message like the last time you were fired and the reasons why you were fired. And as soon as, you know, training camp starts, you pull this shit. But at the same time, not a little while after he was fired in Toronto, he had a, he did an interview. I think it was with Sportsnet or something like that. And it was so weird because he kept on referring to himself in the third person. So I don't think that Mike Babcock understood what Mike Babcock had to understand.
And the fact is that exactly what you've said, Kekalainen's been in charge for 10 years. I think John Davidson has, this is his second time around with the team, and I think he's been there 4 or 5 years. The axe has to fall on one of these guys because they're just obviously they're not doing their job. I mean, you knew what Mike Babcock has done in the past in Detroit and Toronto. You know that, yes, here in the media, local media said that he's a new changed man. He went and coached where? It's University of Saskatchewan or somewhere like that.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, they have to do the PR and everything. And the good news at the end of it all is at least it didn't take much time before they fired him. So that's the,
right.
I mean, they didn't try to cover it up. They didn't try to, you know, see, oh, we'll see what happens in December. We'll decide then, or at least they decide to axe him right away. But yeah, it's, I don't know, man. I guess he felt like he didn't do anything wrong and that was it. You know, it's we're giving you another shot in the NHL. And first thing you do is like, okay, I want to see the pictures on your phone. Like, why?
No. Yeah, exactly. Weird, weird, weird. I do that all the time,
right? If we ever met face to face, that's the first thing I say. Can I see the pictures on your phone?
Sure. That's, I mean, it's the universal greeting apparently for 2023. Well, let's maybe move on and talk about, of course, who everyone is talking about, who has a lot of pressure on him, Connor Bedard. What do you think his impact, Luke, is going to be right out of the gate?
I'm sure he'll have a tremendous first half of the season. Those players, often that's what will happen. I'm curious to see how he'll handle stronger teams when you start reaching that January, February point where everybody's really starting to lock down for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Everything's going to get tighter. You know, then by the time you reach month of March, you have a new rule book that shows up. So I'm curious to see how you'll handle that part, but I'm sure he'll be strong out of the gate. I mean, even the preseason, he was flying all over the place.
Yeah, he has definitely showed in the preseason that he's got the skills. Do you think he's 30 goal scorer or do you think he can go higher?
I'd give him at least 30, but what I'm curious to see is we've seen a lot of his goal scoring skills, but what I've seen in the preseason is a bit more of his playmaking skills. So that's okay. Another part I'm interested to see if he's going to go shift a bit more around the playmaking, and you know eventually that'll help him open up to get better shots on the net. So I'm curious. I'm not convinced he's might be wrong, but I'm not convinced like he'll be a goal scorer like Patrick Kane, for example, known for goal scoring. I got a feeling he's going to be a bit more of an overall player in that department. So. I can't wait. I just hope that Chicago does a good job of, you know, putting the right people around the kid to show him the ropes and really make him understand how everything's going to work out. That's one thing that I remember the Washington Capitals did with Ovechkin. They went and got Sergei Fedorov back in the day just to like, this mm-hmm. is how it's going to work. This is how the NHL works. And I hope they're going to do that and really work around the kid to really integrate him well. Cause I mean, they've basically traded anything that has any type of experience or capital over there. So I just hope that's the route they're going to go and not just leave him out to dry. Kind of like Buffalo has done with like, you know, so many players.
Well, I think that they maybe have made some steps there because in the off season we saw like Corey Perry, mm-hmm. Taylor Hall, both joined the Blackhawks. So they're putting a few of the pieces together. Maybe one of those players will take Connor under his wing. I think that the Blackhawks are definitely going to be a better team. I'm not saying they're making the playoffs, but in my mind, I think they're not going to be the doormat that they had positioned themselves to be because I know many people probably don't believe this, but teams don't tank in the NHL. Just ask Gary Bettman.
Sure. You're talking about the same guy who wants to put a NHL franchise in Atlanta for the third time. That guy, right?
Yeah, that guy. He knows what he's talking about, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, no offense to the fans in Atlanta. All right. I mean, you've tried the experience twice. It hasn't worked. And I saw that headline the other day. I'm like, This is just to distract from whatever's going on in Arizona. That's for sure. I mean, there's no other reason for that headline other than to not think about everything that's going on in Arizona.
I mean, the only thing that I've seen positive from the Coyotes in recent months is the Logan Cooley goal from against LA. I was like, well, there's something positive finally for the Coyotes. But, you know, again, you're playing in a college arena. You should be ashamed of yourselves.
Yeah, and I think the last negotiations they had, what was it, with Tempe?
Tempe, yes. And yeah. They didn't go very well.
No, I think they got through like the first step, and then when it came down to the people, they just said no. Mm-hmm. So it's, I don't know, man. It's just get out of there. It's not working. I know it sucks for the fans in Arizona, but it's not working. It's just
right.
And the funniest thing is when I heard about Tempe, I started looking at the numbers, and they have actually a smaller population than Quebec City has. And they've been trying to get a freaking NHL team there for like 15 years.
Well, they have the new, is it still called the Videodrome Arena? Is that what it?
Yeah, Videodrome Arena. Yeah, it's a nice place. I went there last year. It's a nice, it's not the big, it seems smaller than the Bell Center, is my kind of feeling, but it's a nice place. It's a nice place.
Okay. Well, there you go. Just move the Coyotes up there.
Everybody's waiting for it.
That would be a shock, I think, weather-wise, I'm pretty certain, if you were going from Arizona up to Quebec. But, well, let's talk about the Montreal Canadiens, your team. What do you think overall the team is looking? How do you think it's looking, I should say, for this year's squad?
It's going to be a tough one again. I think it's okay. Patience. Yeah. Especially, I mean, they have an extremely young defense. I mean, really, really young defense. They traded, what's his name? Well, they traded Jeff Petrie for the second time.
They traded away Casey DeSmith too.
Yeah, that was one of the best ones I saw. Was like Casey DeSmith, 2023 to 2023. Thanks for the good moments. Jeez, I can't find it. But anyways, one of their top defensemen, and that doesn't leave much. And a lot of young players. Joel Edmondson. There you go. They traded away Joel Edmondson. You know, I expect them to score a lot of goals, especially if Cole Caulfield is healthy. We got Alex Newhook in there. Tanner Pearson is going to be able to make up some room if they can stay healthy. I mean, Kirby Dach was having a decent season last year. Sean Monahan as well. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, up front, if they stay healthy, I think they have a pretty decent forwards. But it's the back end. I mean, it is very young and very inexperienced. So that's gonna hurt. But at least the good news to me is that they're all players that are drafted by the team. So at least you're working on guys that you believe in, which we haven't seen much over the last few years. I mean, I remember a few years ago, I think it's even when they went to the Stanley Cup Finals, I think they had like three or four players that were drafted by the team on that team. The rest were all traded or signing. So at least now they're trying to develop their own players, which is a good sign.
Right. And as you said, they might be a little bit weak on the back end, but if they've got some folks coming up through the system, that maybe next year things are back to that Stanley Cup type of team.
Yeah. Well, like I said, at least you're working on players that you've drafted that you're banking on. And I mean, up front, I mean, Suzuki's still, he's doing great. Caulfield, I mean, they're expecting like a 30 to 40 goal season if mm-hmm. he stays healthy. You know, so there's a lot of positive, but it's just, like I said, it's patience. You got to work with it. I mean, and then you got to see if Montembeau is going to be up to it, if Jake Allen can be up to it as well, if they're splitting half and half. So yeah, the back end has a lot of questions, but you know, it's coming. It's almost there.
Well, let's go from a young team to an older team, which happens to be my team, the Pittsburgh Penguins. They won the sweepstakes. They got Erik Karlsson. They also signed. That's the question. Which one are we getting? You know, you also add Lars Eller, who's a great performer as well on the ice, though he's 33, 34 years old. EK is, what, 35, I think. Riley Smith is the only addition that I'm really excited for. But this is a team that is slightly getting younger. But again, as I mentioned before, last year, look, we're on borrowed time now with the big three. All right, Letang and Malkin and Crosby. So we need to start planning for the future. And we need to start thinking about what can we do to, I hate to use the term, but it's the right term, to replace those folks. I don't know. They're irreplaceable in some fans' eyes. But time moves on, and we're not getting any younger. We are, again, we got slightly younger, all right, thanks to new general manager Kyle Dubas. But I don't know. Will they make the playoffs? I think they have a good shot if they stay healthy. But that's the big question mark when you're dealing with guys that are in their mid to late 30s. Can they stay healthy?
Yeah, it's in. It, like you said, I mean, it'd be the time to start thinking about the future, and that's just something that teams don't seem to do anymore.
No,
you know, try keeping around a couple of veterans just to show the younger players, and it's all about like we're just going to trade them away, try to get as much as we can. But at the same time, it's like nobody's showing them how to be professional. Nobody's showing them, you know, this is a good routine, staying healthy. And so I think, and especially if you're talking about stars like your big three over there, I mean, I think you could learn a lot from those guys.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, I also think Ryan Graves is a solid pickup too. I forgot. But, you know, the other big question mark is what Tristan Jarry is going to show up, because he looks fantastic for months and months, and then come playoff time, just absolutely falls to pieces, and just he becomes a shit show on the ice. And I think that's the other big question. Can the goaltending, can they stand up to the rigors of the season?
Yeah, I think that's when you start to appreciate Marc-André Fleury, right?
Yes.
I mean, he's had some off seasons, but at least he's... You know, he was always consistent to a certain extent, and I think that's one of the things that I've really noticed out of Pittsburgh. Doesn't matter if it's the Smith or Jarry or whatever. I mean, what was it, Murray before that?
Murray, yeah.
Like good times and then horrible times and then good times, and all within the span of like a couple of months. So it's hard to plan. It's hard to plan ahead. It's hard to have confidence in your guys. You know, not that I want to say that old guys are slower, but you know, chances are you're going to be getting quite a bit of shots if your team is definitely older than most of the teams are going to be playing against. So yeah, it's yeah, they've added a couple of players, but it's, you know, not enough to change their identity. And that's what happens with a lot of teams. They like to just stick a couple of pieces together, but they're not actually solving any of their real issues.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And, you know, I think that, to be honest, I think that when you look at the Florida Panthers coming out this season, that they had a heck of a run. Hell, they had a run for the ages. But can they do it again? And that, I think, is probably not going to happen, because I feel like teams know now. Okay, we know now what we had in store. I think that the Florida Panthers got overlooked a lot. Like, we're thinking about the next team. We're going to beat the Bruins. We're going to beat the Panthers. No big deal. We'll get to the next round. And then came up and bit them in the ass that they could not put away the Panthers. I think the Panthers are still going to have a solid season, but I don't think that they're going to have the same success, because I think now the word is on the street, hey, watch out for the Panthers.
Yeah, they're going to, if they can stay healthy come playoff time, they might have a better chance. But I mean, Barkov was pretty banged up. Kachuk played a game with a broken sternum. What the hell?
I mean,
just like, seriously? So, you know, maybe if they can avoid that. But yeah, it's a classic where now we know about you guys, so we're gonna be on the lookout.
I'm gonna interrupt my conversation with Luke for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, even comic book supplies. They got everything you need, and if they don't have it, ask. They'll probably be able to get it for you. So stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. WGComics.com is their web address, and they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just search for @WGComics. You know, staying put in the Atlantic, let's talk about a couple of those other teams. One of the teams I think is going to suffer a little bit and that's because of losing two key members, I think the Boston Bruins are going to suffer quite a bit. Without Bergeron in the lineup, who is retired, and David Krejci, who is also retired, I think that those are two giant shoes to fill. And I feel like that, coupled with the fact of their utter collapse in the playoffs, is going to make the Bruins a very, I'm going to say, schizophrenic type of team. Like, you don't know which team is going to show up and which one's going to be on the ice. What are your thoughts on the Boston Bruins?
Yeah, pretty much the same. My big surprise last year is how solid they were in goal. I was really surprised, because they didn't seem to have any backup plans for that, and it actually turned out pretty good. And I mean, come playoff time, I think that's probably where it really hurt them. Without saying it was a catastrophe, it wasn't. But I think that's one of the areas that really hurt them. So I don't know if the new guys can keep that up come this season. Because again, you're riding on, well, we know what you guys did last year, mm-hmm. right? I mean, they finished number one, right? I mean, they were first in the East.
They were first. So
kind of like the Florida Panthers. Well, we know about you now,
yeah.
right? So we're not... Even if you don't have your number one centerman, even if you're, you're out a good goal scorer, we'll see how Pastrnak, how that goes, because he's been used to being fed by Bergeron and all that. So I mean, it's there's a lot of question marks, but my big one is like, what's going to happen in goal? Because they had a good season, but my concerns are still the same as last year, where like we don't know what's going to go over there. Do you really have a solid number one, you know?
And then the other question, and I don't know, I don't put a lot of emphasis on wearing the C, but Brad Marchand is now going to be the team captain. So does that change? You talked about it earlier. Does that change the identity of the Boston Bruins under his helm?
I don't think so. I don't, by that point, I mean, he's still a good shit talker, but he's not the same guy that came into the NHL, 10, 12 years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's changed quite a bit. And I think that, with the management that they have, it's not just to show the fans, okay, you like this guy, we're going to give him the captaincy. I think that they feel like he can do a good job, and he probably already has the dressing room and has had it for a while. So I'm not too worried about. This is one question that I do have about the Boston Bruins. I don't understand why they didn't re-sign Bertuzzi. He just seemed like the perfect fit for that team.
That's a very good question. I mean, I can't, unless maybe there was something salary cap-wise, is the only thing I can think of.
Maybe. But I mean, he just, like, the type of player that he is, he plays hard, he's gritty, but he can still score goals, and he just seemed to fit right into the mold that they already have. And they didn't re-sign him. I was surprised to see that, because that would have been, especially if you're losing two of your top guys, if you actually have a player right now that is, the definition of your identity as a team, you want to keep him, right?
You would think, but instead he went to Toronto, which I guess would be a nice segue into, what are your thoughts on Toronto?
Same old, same old.
Wait a minute. You mean that John Klingberg is not going to fix the defensive woes of the Toronto Maple Leafs?
If he did, I think Dallas probably would have kept him. I mean, I was watching the game yesterday, and if I'm not mistaken, it was the Habs' last preseason game. So they pretty much had their team, and Toronto pretty much had their team, except maybe a 2-3 players. And they were talking about Klingberg, who wasn't playing because I think he's injured right now, but should be okay to start the season. And we're talking about how he's going to help the power play. Well, you already had the number two power play in the league. That's not your issue. Your issue is keeping the puck out of your own net. That's your problem. So why would you go and get that? You already had a very good power play. Now, I get it's going to be even more dangerous. I understand that. But you're still not answering the problems that you've had in the past. Plus, I mean, they didn't re-sign a couple of their penalty killers. And, to my knowledge, I don't think Bertuzzi's really known for killing penalties. I don't think that Domi's really known for killing penalties. Actually, I'm pretty sure he's not. I saw him in Montreal enough. So you're still not answering your issues. It was a preseason game, and they had Marner and Matthews out killing penalties. So it's kind of like, I get you're going to give them more ice time, but these aren't your top defensive guys, and you haven't gotten defensive guys to come and help out that. So that's what I'm saying. It's just like, to me, it's just like the same thing. And probably what it's proven now is that I'm not sure Kyle Dubas was running the show all that much. I think this is all Shanahan's show, and it doesn't matter who's there. He's going to keep on going, keep on doing the same thing. And it's not working. It's just not working.
And not to mention, too, the goaltending issues. I mean, Ilya Samsonov, played okay last year. We can't say that he was terrible, but he wasn't the superstar that maybe they were hoping he was. Matt Murray, constantly injured, never really in the lineup. They were down to Joseph Woll, who, with all due respect, doesn't have a ton of experience either. So, again, that's another issue that they have yet to address is goaltending.
Yeah, it's like they're waiting to have another Jack Campbell on their hands. I mean, you can't always go through wishful thinking.
Right.
And again, I mean, once you reach the playoffs, you know, it might work for a game or two, but eventually, the teams are going to zero in. It's like, okay, this is where we have to go. This is where we have to hit them hard, and they're going to do it. There's just too many holes on defense over there. You know, if they're not willing to sacrifice up front, they're never going to solve it. And again, I mean, Klingberg, I mean, you're paying quite a bit of money, and he's not actually helping the real issues that you have. He's going to help the number two power play in the league. I mean, to me, that's not a power play that needs help.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, I'm a Habs fan, so I'm happy about this. You know, I love watching the Toronto media go apeshit over all of this. But, you know, as a hockey fan, you kind of go like, I mean, there is this thing as the window of opportunity, and it's closing every year. So you're going to have to make a sacrifice eventually. And I love Giordano. It's just that he's my age. And he still plays great, but he's not playing the minutes he used to play like 10 years ago. And he's probably your top defensive guy. So it's just the weirdest thing to see him go over and over and over and over. And again, I can't remember if we've talked about this. I really thought when Seth Jones was up for grabs, I really thought they'd make a move to go get him, because he'd help you on the power play. And he's much better defensively than Klingberg is. So that would have settled a lot of issues. And I was surprised. Maybe they tried, and maybe the asking price was too much. But that was like, there's your target. You should go in. And even if it does cost you Marner, or it does cost you Nylander, or, I mean, that's what you need. He's going to handle so many things on your team. You need that guy.
And you have to wonder about those four: Tavares, Matthews, Marner, Nylander. How long do they stick around? You know, it's been in the past where there's been contract issues. How long do you keep those four together?
A lot of the talk, not necessarily in Toronto, but like around Toronto, was that if Arizona had actually a deal to have a new arena and the whole thing, chances are Matthews would probably not have signed his contract and would have tried to go back home, basically. You know, and there's been talk about that for quite a while. But the fact that the deal didn't go through, the fact that they're not playing in a, you know, like you said, it's a college arena, that certainly helped him stay in Toronto. But, I mean, still, I mean, those guys are asking for so much money. John Tavares, he's still, I mean, you got to give him credit. He still plays the way that you look at him and you say, I can't get rid of this guy. Every time he's injured or something, it's like it's a whole different team. And with the punch that they have up front, it shouldn't be, right? So I don't know. And a lot of the talk often goes back to either Nylander or Marner. They have to move any one of those four if they really want. And again, you have to move them for the right players. But it's just same old, same old. Last night, granted, it is a preseason game, but last night they were up 4-1 against the Montreal Canadiens, or 4-2, and they lost 5-4 in overtime. It was just like the typical Montreal-Toronto game that we've seen over the last 3 years. You're not answering any of your issues. You're just pushing forward and, I don't know, hoping your power play is going to score more in the playoffs. You get like two power plays a game in the playoffs. You know?
So yeah, it's just right.
Like, I don't know. And hopefully management sees through this and fire Shanahan if he is really pulling all the strings, because it's like all the same mistakes, but Dubas isn't there. So clearly he wasn't the one, or it probably wasn't his first choices that were being pulled.
And how does Sheldon Keefe keep a job?
Well, I mean, the thing is, and here's where I sort of had an issue. I don't have much, although I do think that when comes time, like he was outcoached by John Cooper quite a bit, you know, so when he faces off against real NHL veterans, it is harder. Overall, I don't think he's a bad coach. But again, if we're talking about this window of opportunity, I think you need to hire a guy who comes in and knows how to handle the stars, knows how to handle the younger players, and will know how to like bog all of this down and help your defense. Kind of like what Barry Trotz did when he ended up in Washington, right? He sat down Ovechkin and said, listen, man, you want to win a Stanley Cup? Yeah, well, back check, man. That's it. Just fucking back check. Once you start doing that, and everybody starts doing that, and, you know, they won a Stanley Cup. So eventually, you got to have that type of guy, and I don't think Keith is that type of guy. And I think he is a very decent coach. That's not, but it's just, you got to get somebody who has experience with star players and who will just like swing them in the right direction.
Well, let's switch gears and talk about another franchise that has maybe a little bit of pressure on them to win. It seems like year in and year out, you and I talk about this franchise, the Edmonton Oilers. Obviously, McDavid, Draisaitl, still together. What are your thoughts on the Oilers going into this season?
I mean, for a long time, they had the same issues as the Toronto Maple Leafs, but I feel like at least they're trying to solve their issues slowly. And then they're not necessarily getting the best players in the spots. If they're going out for a defensive defenseman, they might not be able to get the best defenseman, the defensive defenseman they can, but at least they're trying to answer, you know, that problem. They've tried a bunch of stuff in goal. They've struggled. I mean, it's really hard to get a solid number one goaltender nowadays. Mm-hmm. So they struggle there. And at least they're trying stuff, and they don't seem to be repeating the same thing. So for me, this year is, have they answered their bottom six scoring? Because they need that.
Right.
When it comes to when playoff time, I mean, they need that. They can't just rely on Draisaitl and McDavid. And if anything, if it'll help them relieve a bit of all that pressure, it'll just make those guys better. Mm-hmm. But you can't expect those guys to just be your constant scoring guys. You gotta get that secondary scoring in.
Let's stay in the West. Let's talk about a couple of other teams. Let's talk about Las Vegas. Obviously, a team that over the last several years has done very, very well. But again, talk about getting a little bit long in the tooth, so to speak. Mark Stone, for example, 31 years old, has been banged up quite a bit. You know, Jack Eichel is, what, about 20? Is he 28, 29?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Somewhere around there. So he's still got some years on him. But, you know, they're coming off a pretty successful last year. So what are your thoughts on the Golden Knights?
Goaltending, I'm curious.
Yes.
That was a big question mark last year. Seemed to work out fine. I mean, they won the cup. But again, I mean, can they be as solid over there, or can the team be as strong defensively to protect that position? We'll see. And I mean, the injuries, it is hard to be a top team year after year, especially if you go far in the playoffs. Less time to rest over the summer. You get more banged up. Not everybody's playing with a broken sternum, but still, I mean, you get banged up in the playoffs. I mean, they went a lot farther than I thought they would, even in the season. For a while, they weren't even in the playoffs for quite a while last year. So I think even if they did win the cup, I think this season is probably going to be a tough one for them.
Well, I think that we have to look at Adin Hill and see if he can, you know, recreate that magic, because, you know, they made it kind of plain and simple that he is going to be, he, Logan Thompson are probably going to be the duo. Jonathan Quick went to New York. Brisson went to Winnipeg. Yeah, Winnipeg. So they've made it pretty. They're putting their chips. They're going all in on Adin Hill, and it'll be, I think depending on how Adin Hill plays will dictate how the rest of the team plays.
Yeah, that and injuries.
Sure.
I think the, you know, fatigue from a long run in the playoffs is a real thing. It really is. You see it year after year, and that's why, you know, what Tampa did was so remarkable to you know, go that far in the playoffs 3 years in a row. It's almost unheard of in the modern NHL. So So we'll see. But I do have to say, I've never been a huge Mark Stone fan, but that comment he had after being run over in the preseason game, I was like, that was the least captain thing to say.
It might have been true and factual, but you really didn't need to say it in the press.
There's just so many other ways to say it. It's like, I should have had my head up, you know, because I mean, it's still an NHL game, but you know, I'm just trying to get my rhythm back, and he's trying to, you know, try to have a spot in the lineup. And I mean, there's so many other ways to say instead of just dissing the guy.
Yeah.
But that was, like I said, I've never been a huge Mark Stone fan, but I was listening to them like, shut up, man. Shut up. That's how you run your dressing room. Oh, okay. Good luck with that.
Well, let's talk about the Colorado Avalanche. A bit of bad news came out. I forget if it was at the beginning of the summer, maybe midway through the summer. Looks like Landeskog is going to be out for a little while longer. And, I mean, it might be. Some people have said maybe career-ending injury.
Well, he's had his share of tough injuries.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not just like a week or two type of stuff, like months and months. So that would suck, because that's the type of player that I like. He plays hard. He's, you know, sometimes I feel like sort of like Tavares, but maybe a bit more skilled. But I mean, he's just, you know, he's all the way, and that would really suck for him. It would be pretty bad. But they got Jonathan Drouin, which isn't going to change much. But they got him.
Well, you know, I think the Avalanche, you know, or I personally, if I'm going with possible contenders to come out of the West, I have the Avalanche penciled in. I still think that they're a pretty solid team. I also still believe that the Oilers will probably be a force to be reckoned with out in the West. But then when it comes to some of the other teams, I'm got to be honest, I think, again, the West looks to be a little bit weaker. I don't know. Am I wrong, or do you agree with me that that's the conference that might be a little bit weaker?
It's a huge question mark, because I don't think anybody expected LA to, you know, end up being as strong last year. Maybe it was because the West was a bit weaker, but you know, I mean, they didn't make major changes, so I expect them to play some decent hockey. Dallas is still, you know, just spinning around, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Minnesota really didn't wazzle and dazzle in the free agency.
On the other hand, I'm thinking the Sharks and the Red Wings should be better. So maybe we're starting to see a bit of a up and coming there. But it's hard to see any team come out. I mean, Blackhawks should be better, but still, I mean, we're far away from talking about actually just the playoff team. I don't know, man. It's looking like a weaker to the.
It is. I mean, I feel, you know, Chicago is going to be better, but still probably going to be in the basement. Nashville, I think they have, and I think they'll quickly maybe be one of those teams that we're going to start talking about in December. I think once they get everything put together on that squad with Barry Trotz is no longer the GM. Who's the new GM in Nashville?
No, that's him.
He's replacing. Because Poley left. Yes, exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got Barry Trotz there. I think when he starts putting the pieces together, I think that team's going to start trending upwards midseason. You know, I agree with you. I think the Sharks will be a little bit better. I still don't think they're making the playoffs. Anaheim is not impressing anyone because of old man Gibson. I don't know why they're still sticking with him, but whatever.
I do. And then the whole shit show with Trevor Zegras' contract over the last few weeks. And I mean, I don't think you're sending the right message personally, if you're looking at this from a PR standpoint, because I mean, you do have some very good young players and you want to build around them. And if you're just yanking them around with their contracts, you know, first time around, it's going to be a bit hard to try to build around those guys.
And on top of that, I mean, Troy Terry got what I think is a kind of he got a great deal, but it's not great for the franchise. But I'm like, $7 million for Troy Terry. Like, he's good, but is he $7 million good? That's my question. So I don't know. I think Anaheim's going to be a dumpster fire as well. You mentioned the Red Wings. I think the Red Wings are going to be one of those teams that are going to be in the middle of the pack in the Atlantic Division. I see them making the playoffs. I think that the JT Compher is and Alex DeBrincat obviously are going to be big, big offensive weapons for the Wings to use. I think it comes down to the defense and goaltending. And actually, if I may name drop for a moment, I got to talk to Darren McCarty a couple weeks ago when I was back at the Monroe Comic Con.
Nice.
And I asked him what he thought about this year's squad. And he said the same thing I did, that goaltending for him is going to be the key. If they could get good goaltending out of Ville Husso or maybe Alex Lyon, then they will probably be a very solid team and a competitive team. But there's a big question mark on that goaltending.
Yeah, I think other than the Brinkat, what Yzerman has been doing is just like getting smaller pieces to the puzzle than I think people thought he would. So maybe the whole process has been a bit slower, but he's building slowly. He's getting a variety of defensemen. He's getting a variety of players. My big surprise was the Brinkat. I mean, I did not know he was up for grabs. To me, that was like a surprise hearing that Ottawa traded him. So, he's building slowly, and I think it's going to be one of those teams where if they stay healthy, they're going to surprise everybody. Mm-hmm. But if they do get hurt, you know, if the injury bug does hit them, it's going to be a different story. And again, I mean, I agree as well. I mean, a lot of it is going to go through your goaltending because your defense is maybe slightly above average overall. So, I mean, that's okay, but it's not playoff bound okay. So,
right. Well, let's talk about the Senators for a minute, because I think that they're another team that obviously has made a splash getting Jonas Korpisalo in net, getting Vladimir Tarasenko, even though that they lost DeBrincat. And, of course, they have their usual Brady Tkachuk and Stutzel and those young guys, like, for an example, even Chychrun. So what do you think about the Sens? Are they going to be playoff bound?
I think this year they probably are.
I agree.
Korpisalo, I mean, you know, he's been pretty consistent. I mean, so that should be a good sign for him, because, I mean, 2 years ago, they were the ones betting on Matt Murray, and that didn't work. So that's been a big question mark for a number of years. But for me, it's like they have a lot of talented young players. I'm questioning like their bottom six.
Yes.
That's the part that I look at the lineup and I'm like, that part needs a bit more work. If you're going to, I mean, first goal, make the playoffs. Okay. But then where are you going to go from there? And that's one issue. I think, I don't think they're going to have much issue scoring goals. That's not going to be a problem. And, but it's like that, still that secondary scoring, that defensive play. I mean, they have a lot of young players. Defense is always harder when you're young. I think they're playoff bound. Definitely.
I agree. I think that they are playoff bound as well. I think they're going to be in the middle of the pack of the Atlantic with Boston and Detroit battling it out. So any other teams you want to talk about here? We're getting up close to our time limit here. Any other surprises from this past season? Do you want to talk about maybe Stanley Cup contenders?
Maybe one disappointment.
Okay, let's go with that.
Yes, they're kind of like my second favorite team, Calgary Flames. I mean, they're making a coaching change, so that's probably a good sign, because a lot of players really didn't like Sutter. But, I mean, they hardly moved this summer. So I don't know if they're banking on the fact that, you know, the guys are going to have a bounce back season because it's going to be a new coaching staff. They almost didn't do anything. They didn't address any of the issues from last year. So I was kind of like, just do a little something, guys. Or
I feel just like the same way with the New York Islanders. They didn't do anything. What did they do? I mean, yeah, they got Bo Horvat before the trade deadline, but over the summer they did nothing. If you're an Islanders fan, you better hope that, they play like they played last year and that Matt Barzal has a hell of a year, because otherwise, I don't know what you guys are thinking, what you guys are doing.
Yeah, it seems to me like ever since Tavares left, they've pretty much been in this standstill. They sort of gave a big push after he left.
Mm-hmm.
But since then, I mean, there's not much going on there. And it doesn't seem like they're trying anything different either. Some teams, I mean, for some teams, it sort of works, like the Predators. right? I mean, it's like year after year, it's like maybe they'll make the playoffs, maybe they won't, but at least, you know, they're still pretty much competitive. They haven't made a splash, but I mean, they're still, you know, fairly effective. But for the Islanders, just like, and especially, I mean, the Atlantic is going to be very, very strong. Mm-hmm. So if you're, I mean, you're still going to have to compete against them, even if they're not in your own division, you still have to compete against those guys. So I, yeah, it's, I don't know. I mean, it sometimes you got to wonder how much of it comes from like ownership, right? I mean, they're at the end of the day, they're the ones signing the checks. So we can talk mm-hmm. about, you know, salary cap and all of that, and you have this much to spend, and well, maybe you don't. And maybe they're in sort of that issue. Maybe, I don't know, but it's Lou's team. So maybe Lou's got something up his sleeve. I don't know.
I think that a lot of times, and over the last few weeks, as I've been gearing up for the start of the season, reading a lot of different blogs and reports and whatnot, I feel like that happens more than we know, that the owners are either laissez-faire, they're hands off, whatever, as long as, you know, the team does X, Y, and Z. And then there's been other ones that are a little bit more hands on. I think that, I don't know in my previous fandom if I really realized that is what I'm getting at. And I think you have a valid point, Luke, that, yeah, it, depending on what management says, will dictate how the team works.
Yeah, because I'm thinking of like the Carolina Hurricanes, who are probably going to be a, you know, top in the, among the top in the East. You know, they were pissed off that Montreal tried to go after Sebastian Aho. Mm-hmm. So as soon as they could, well, they grabbed one of Montreal's players and they decided like, yeah, we're not going to top that offer. We're going to take the picks instead. And now they're sort of stuck with, I mean, he's not a bad player. I'm trying to remember his name.
Kakaniemi.
Yeah, that's the one. You know, he's not a bad player. It's just that last year you paid him a lot of money, and this year you're still paying him almost $5 million, and he's not a $5 million player.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right, so you're stuck with that because you were pissed off at the move another team made, and that's clearly all ownership behind it. I mean, I don't think a GM would go like, "Hey, let's go get that guy and piss him off."
Yeah, yeah,
right. And then we'll be screwed with the salary cap for a bunch of years and piss off some of our better players because we're paying this guy too much. I mean, the whole story doesn't make sense unless the guy signing the checks is going like, "Hey, I didn't like that. This is what we're going to do." So yeah, and. I mean, same goes for Arizona. I mean, clearly, year after year, whoever owns that team doesn't want to spend any money on the ice.
The Blue Jackets are that in that scenario as well. That's been, as I said, I've been reading up quite a bit. They tend to be laissez-faire with the running of that team. So maybe that also explains some of the woes of some teams. I would say that, you know, if no one's guiding the ship, you're probably going to be off your beaten course, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we shall see, Luke. Anything else real quickly you want to touch base on before we wrap things up?
No, man, I'm good. I'm just hoping that we have a solid NHL season this year and least amount of injuries as possible so we can have the best show. I mean, that's always it always pisses me off when you know, well, all Crosby's out for 2 weeks. Well, geez, man. I mean, I want to see him play, right? And it's always those stories that sort of piss me off after a while. And I wish that they'd change. If you want to keep your 82 games, fine. Just like stretch it out a bit more or something. Just have the players, you know, recover a bit more. And the show will just be better. I mean, at the end of the day, that's why we buy the tickets. That way, mm-hmm. That's why we watch the games. We want to see a good show. Please just give us a good show.
There you go. Enough said. Luke. Man, thanks again for sitting down and chatting with me. We're going to do it again in the spring when it's closer to playoff time and give our thoughts on who might lift Lord Stanley's cup.
Yeah, see how wrong we were. Yeah.
That's right, because Calgary's going to win it. And see, we've been bad-mouthing them and the Islanders. That's your final for next year. See?
We predicted if we can get like an Alberta show-off and in the playoffs, that would be awesome. That would be good. It would help the rivalry for sure.
Absolutely. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Luke Landry, talking about the upcoming NHL season, which I am super excited for. But I digress, because I want to thank Luke for taking some time out of his busy schedule to sit down and chat with me. I always look forward to it, and I can't wait to do it again. All right, with that being said, maybe I need to let you know where you can get in touch with me if you have questions or comments about what I've said on this episode. Well, you can find a variety of different ways to communicate with me. Let's start off by you can leave a message over on the Facebook, Instagram, or Threads, and just simply look for at PVDcast. You can find me on Twitter or X. My handle there is at PVDMVP. And you can even shoot me an email if you'd like to be a little more old school. And that email address is johnorlando@pvdcast.com. And now it's time for me to let you know where you can find this great podcast if you want to tell some folks about it, which if you do, I really appreciate that. You can find it at pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly. But it's available through all those other major podcasting outlets, you know, like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio app, etc., etc. All you have to do is put into the search bar of your favorite podcasting app, PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And don't forget, when you're using those apps, please rate and review. Rating and reviewing pushes me up in the algorithm, and it really helps me out. And of course, if you haven't already, when you're listening to the PVDcast, subscribe so that you never miss an episode of this great podcast. But it's also available through a couple of other avenues, such as a live Facebook broadcast that I do every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where I play the week's episode. And if you happen to be one of those fanatics when it comes to internet radio stations, PVDcast is available on CROC Radio. That's right, Croc Radio out of Kimberley, British Columbia. You can check out the PVDcast every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And make sure you check it out. And if you check out the PVDcast, check out some of the other great shows that are on Croc Radio. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for me to get on out of here. I want to thank all of you for checking out this episode one more time. And with that, I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2020.